Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're diving into something truly unique and honestly a little wild. Our source material isn't, you know, a typical research paper or a news article. It's an unmoderated, raw, sprawling online forum thread.
Expert, what was your initial impression when you first started navigating this this chaotic digital landscape? Did it feel like peering into a collective consciousness or maybe something else?
Oh, it absolutely felt like that, like peering into a collective, totally unedited consciousness.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is that our source is specifically a Homestuck General thread.
Right.
For listeners who might not know, these are long-running, really rapid-fire, and very image-heavy discussions you often find on image boards. So such a source offers this truly unique, unfiltered window into how these passionate online communities interact, how they critique, how they express themselves, all without the usual filters. You know?
None of the usual polish.
Exactly. It's like digital anthropology, but happening right now in real time. Digital anthropology. That's a great way to put it. So our mission today is to navigate this, well, unpredictable digital landscape, try and extract some surprising facts, some crucial insights, and ultimately we want to connect it all back to what it means for you, the listener, in understanding contemporary online communication and culture. So prepare yourself for the unfiltered current.
Okay, so as we started sifting through this raw canvas, what was the very first thing that like jumped out at you about its structure? For me, it was just the sheer stream of consciousness nature of it. Posts fly by, loads of internet slang, emojis, embedded images.
Oh, definitely.
Oh.
The immediate sensory experience is, well, it's precisely what makes it so compelling, but also at times pretty overwhelming.
Right.
You're hit with this rapid succession of posts, a total visual overload from all the images, and you get this palpable sense of an ongoing, completely unedited conversation. It's not just individual thoughts bouncing around. It fosters this unique kind of collective thought that's both, you know, deeply fascinating. And like you said, it can be a lot. It's a torrent.
A torrent of unfiltered data, yeah. And within that raw canvas, what's really striking is seeing these deeply personal musings right alongside sharp cultural critiques. It almost feels like a form of, I don't know, digital catharsis, a space where the guard is just completely down.
It sounds like trying to drink from a fire hose of opinions sometimes.
Exactly.
And within this torrent, we find some truly passionate debates, particularly around visual media and character design. We see these sharp critiques of character redesigns, specifically like iconic figures such as Superman and Batman. The comments are blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Things like worst redesigns ever, or about Superman, just bald, and the perceived less colors for Batman. It seems these changes did not go over well.
No, not at all.
And we also see these general critiques of creative output, like one user saying, Himokai is really phoning it in recently. Beyond just noting these critiques, what do they tell us about the relationship between creators and their audience in these online spaces?
Well, what's insightful here, I think, is how these unmoderated forums, like Homestuck General, become this direct barometer of a fandom's kind of collective sense of ownership.
Ownership. Interesting.
Yeah. When a beloved character gets redesigned or a known creator is seen as phoning it in, the unfiltered comments show not just frustration, but this deep-seated belief that they, the audience, have a legitimate stake in the creative direction. It's a level of perceived control you rarely see in traditional media.
That makes sense.
And another compelling aspect is the discussion around AI in art generation.
Ah, yes, that came up too.
You see comments like, "AI art is epic," right alongside ideas like using AI to generate RPG maker enemies. It really highlights how new technologies and creative fields spark both immense excitement for their potential and, at the same time, a fair bit of skepticism about, you know, their artistic merit or the impact on human creators.
So it's that mix of excitement and anxiety again.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about how communities grapple with change, whether it's a character design or a whole new technology.
Now, beyond the visual critiques, did the forum's passion also ignite fiercely around specific games or industry issues? I definitely saw some intense debates around gaming fandoms and industry grievances.
Absolutely. The intensity only ratchets up when we get into gaming. The discussions around specific games are fierce. Take Wyek, for example. It's an indie RPG known for its, let's say, divisive story and unique aesthetic.
Right. I remember that one causing a stir.
Well, there's this ongoing critique and defense of it. People exploring its flawed protagonist, its sincerity, its integrity, especially when they contrast it with other titles like Undertale. They're really digging into the creative choices there. And this raises an important question. How do these discussions reflect deeper frustrations? Frustrations with the gaming industry, with creative decisions, with community politics?
Like the Skullgirls stuff.
Precisely. In the Skullgirls controversies, that's a fighting game. We see mentions of specific people like Alex Ihad, the lead designer, Mike Z, a programmer, and Sonic Fox, a very famous pro player. The discussions swirl around the perceived ruin of careers and the project itself. It really speaks to a level of community ownership and, frankly, deep emotional investment.
It really sounds like a lot of what people call purity testing within fandoms.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah.
And does this intensity extend beyond just gaming?
Yeah, it's a perfect example of that purity testing dynamic. That's where members rigorously debate, you know, who's a true fan or what counts as authentic engagement with the material. And it often leads to these fierce internal divisions. And it's definitely not just games. We also saw these meta discussions around different metal music subgenres.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Things like symphonic metal, metalcore, groove, blackened death metal, even torture doom, with incredibly detailed, highly opinionated breakdowns of albums. This dynamic, which one user actually described as many retards fighting, and we're just reporting the language used there, it's a parallel to the intense purity testing we see across many fandoms.
Right, that kind of intense debate seems common.
Yeah, where these strong opinions deeply shape people's online identities. There's this idea that, you know, knowledge is most valuable when understood and applied. And here it's being applied really vigorously to evaluate complex creative works and how they're received.
Okay, let's maybe zoom out a bit now and look at the self-referential commentary. The stuff about internet culture itself, there's a lot of discussion around edgy humor, isn't there? Debates about fake edgy versus what's seen as genuinely transgressive.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of widespread feeling that, and again, quoting, the internet has gotten so SNRfing gay.
Uh-huh.
What did these debates tell us about online identity and, like, what's considered acceptable discourse?
Well, beyond just generic anxieties about change, the forum really highlights a specific tension. It's this struggle between a desire for, let's say, authentic, maybe transgressive humor, and the growing pressure for social accountability online. The debates over fake edgy show a community trying to define its own shifting moral boundaries, often doing it in real time, frequently through ironic provocation.
So they're kind of policing themselves in a way?
In a very specific, often confrontational way, yeah. You also see these generational observations popping up.
Like using millennial.
Exactly, using millennial as this generic shorthand for bad, or the emergence of boomer memes as part of what someone called the life cycle of the first generation of digital natives.
Oh. And specific figures get pulled in, too.
Oh, yes. Figures like Chuck Wendig. He's a writer known for genre fiction. And often being outspoken online, they become symbols in these debates. They end up representing different viewpoints in these broader cultural conflicts.
Gotcha.
We also see this phenomenon of e-wars, these prolonged, often ideological online fights between different community factions or groups. And you see attempts to maintain a neutral or detached stance amidst it all. And a comment like, time to make Go comics, acknowledge and apologize, while probably ironic, it reflects those power dynamics of online accountability. The forum is implicitly wrestling with the boundaries of acceptable discourse, often through this lens of irony or extreme provocation.
It's a lot to unpack there. But finally, what's really striking, I think, are the personal, sometimes incredibly raw expressions found within the thread. It's this really jarring juxtaposition, isn't it? High-level critiques, intense fandom debates, right next to intimate anxieties.
Absolutely.
We see comments about mental health, like daily reminder that being depressed literally culls your brain, and just pure expressions of personal fatigue. I can't do it anymore. I'm sick of it. There's even some very explicit or dark humor that seems to hint at underlying personal struggles. It feels like a very human element cutting through all the chaos.
It really does. And what's compelling here is how these unfiltered online spaces can become almost like a confessional. Or maybe a pressure release valve.
Yeah, a release valve.
It speaks volumes about the complex psychology behind putting vulnerability, frustration, even misanthropy out there publicly, even if it's in an anonymous or semi-anonymous setting. These seemingly disconnected fragments from discussing food choices like pizza or tacos to simple observations like too hot to mow the lawn now, they paint this raw, very human picture of internal states trying to navigate an overwhelming digital world.
Mm.
It's a crucial reminder, I think, that even in the most chaotic, seemingly impersonal online spaces, there are real human beings grappling with their everyday realities.
So we've journeyed through the unfiltered depths of this online forum. It was quite the trip.
Definitely.
But beyond the chaos, the slang, the rapid-fire posts, what we found were these deep currents of human experience, real passion, and some incredibly intense critique. Understanding these raw spaces gives you, the listener, a unique lens into the evolving and, yeah, sometimes jarring nature of digital communication. It helps you see the deeper emotional investments driving online discourse, even in corners of the internet you might not personally follow.
Indeed. These unfiltered discussions, despite their often abrasive, sometimes really jarring nature, they offer truly valuable insights. Insights into collective anxieties, into creative impulses, and into this ongoing struggle to just make sense of a rapidly changing world. Which leads to a final thought. As our digital lives become more and more enmeshed with these raw, unmoderated online spaces, what responsibilities do we as participants, as observers, have in shaping the conversation? Even when that conversation feels as chaotic and unpredictable as, to use the forum's own wild idiom, having tripped over a bark beast in a choke chain collar, what's our role in that kind of environment?